We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas Davim Menachem Rishon Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Ksuvos Perek Gimel Mishnah Tes. The basic foundation of this Mishnah is the principle of Modeh B'Knas Patur. If someone comes to court and admits to the fact that they owe a knas, they owe a fine, they did some avera for which they owe a fine, so they're going to be exempt, and we'll see that that's derived from a pasuk. So here we have a case. Ha'omer, someone comes to Beis Din and says, PTC SB Toshel Ploni. He says, I seduced the daughter of this person. So he's believed, even though now he's giving this girl a pagam by saying such a thing. We believe him anyway. And certainly if he says, anasti es bitoshel ploni, he's going to be believed, because there he doesn't give her a pagam at all. What do I mean a pagam? It's not really a defect to say that she was a victim of rape, to say she was a victim and not really, but of seduction. So that that does give her a pagam. Nonetheless, we do believe a man who says, PTC es bitoshel ploni, I seduced the daughter of this person. And as we said, certainly if he says, I raped the daughter of this person, so he's Naaman. And therefore, in such a case, Mishalem Boshes upegam al piatzmo, but ve'ena mashalim kanas. The boshes and pegam, which we've discussed already, that he does have to pay, because those have the status of mamon. Those are not a fine. Those are not a fixed amount. They fluctuate depending, as we said, always we learn, depending on the person who's the perpetrator or the victim. But because he admitted to this crime, there ain't no mishalim knas. He doesn't pay knas, the 50 kesef, because modeh knas is patra. As we said, one who admits to the fact that he owes this fine, he's going to be exempt. This is derived from the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that says, Asher yarshiun elokim yishalem shnayim l're'eh. When elokim here refers to the Beis Din, when the Beis Din makes you into a rasha, then you pay shnayim. In that case, it's a case of a ganav, who owes kefil, who owes double. So what do we derive from there? Arsheri Arshion Elokim Prat Lamarshia Es Atzmo. The Gemara Bavakama, Daf Samach Dalinim at Beis, says that comes to exclude someone who became a Rasha by himself. If Beis Din turned into a Rasha, so then you have to pay kefil. You pay kefil as an example of knas. It's over and above the value, over and above the principle. So only if Beis Din is Mechayev you. But if you are Mechayev yourself, so then that's not Yarshiyun Elokim, that's Marshias Asmo, you're going to be exempt from Knas payments. Ha'omer ganafti v'tavachti u'macharti. Here you have a case of what we call dalad v'hei. The Torah, Parshas Mishpatim as well, says, ki ignov ish shor oseh utzvacho mecharo, person who steals an ox or a sheep and he slaughters it or he sells it, chamisha bakar yishalem tachas ashor, you pay five times for the shor, va'arbatzon tachas aseh, and four times for the seh. This is what we call dalad v'hei. If you steal and slaughter or sell a shor or a seh, and based on the fact that, oh, that dollar, but hey, the principle, the value of the shore and the say itself, that it may be mammon. But the four on five times, so that has the status of knas. So based on the pasuk, Asher Yarshiun Elokim Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'eyu, so therefore we see, yeah, the ganav has to pay anything, or the only thing that's the principle they would have to pay, that's the basic amount. But if he comes to admit, ganavti, I stole, v'tavachtu macharti, and I slaughtered or sold the animal, so then he doesn't have to pay the kefel, and he doesn't have to pay dalad v'hei either. Mishalem es ha-keren al piatzmo, the Mishnah says, by the fact that he admits, so the keren he has to pay, the value of the animal, because that has the status of mamon. But ve'eno mishalem tashlume kefel v'tashlume arba'ov achamisha, because kefel and dalad v'hei have the status of knas. Next case, ha-omer, a person who says, rather, the Mishnah says, Hamis Shori. So a person says that my shore, and the shore was a shore, mua, that means it had gored already three times, and now it has a habit of goring, where now you have to pay full damages, as opposed to when it's a shore tam, it hasn't gored yet three times, you only pay chatzi nezek. So a case, here you have a case where Hamis Shori es ploni. Here you have a case where your shore killed a person. Now this what that example of shor tam and shor muad. So I mentioned that regarding killing an animal, but the same thing is true when it comes to killing a person. If you become a shor muad, then you have to pay what we call kofar. Kofar, the machlokus, what is that? The value of the person that the animal killed, or maybe it's the value of the owner of the shor. Either way, you have to pay with what's called kofar. So you have a case where someone comes to court and says, my shor muad killed this person. And since it's a muad, so now there's the potential to pay kofar. And the Torah says, im kofar yushas alav v'nasan pidyon nafsho k'chol asher yushas alav. So you have one example where someone admits that they owe kofar. Oh, the Mishnah says, or another case, a shoro es poloni, or he comes and says, my shor muad killed this person's ox. Not a person, but killed an ox, and I have to pay the nezek. As it says, shalem yishalem shor tachas ashor. You have to pay the value of the shor. So what happens in these cases? Harezem yishalem al pi atzmo. You have to pay the value, because the payment of kofar and the payment of nezek of a shor muad have the status of mamon. They're not considered knas. There is some discussion, though. Let's say it's a shor tam. So a shor tam that pays, that way you only pay half nezek. So there the Gemara has a machlokas in Bava Kamma between Rav Huna and Rav Papa, Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa, whether or not chatzi nezek has the status of knas or has the status of mamon. On the one hand, you could say, well, should have the status of knas because it's not the exact value. It's less than the value. On the other hand, you say, yeah, but it's not more than the value. Knas is usually an extra penalty. Here you're actually paying less. So there's a machlokes whether or not it has the status of knas or mamon. And now the Mishnah says the following. Hamish shori avdosho ploni. But let's say someone says, my shor killed this person's Eved Kanani. And we mentioned in the past that an Eved Kanani has this, that you pay kesef shloshim shkolim yitain ladonav. It says in Parshas Mishpatim, it's a fixed value of 30 shekel, of 30 sela. So if you admit to that, eino mishalim al piatzmo, because this has the status of knas. It does not depend on the value of the Eved. It's always a fixed 30 shekel. Zaha klal, Mishnah gives us a general rule. Kol ha-mishalim yeser al-masha hezik. Eino mishalim al piatzmo. Anyone who pays more than the value, like kefel, dalad v'hei, or take the case of the shor that killed an eved, the eved could be only worth a sela, and still you're paying 30, so that's more. Or ones mefata moti shemra, you're paying more, you're paying 50 shekel, more than the regular value of the boshes and the pagam and all of those things. So eino mishalim al piatzmo, then you don't pay if you admit to it, because that is considered knas, all of those examples, and that is mode b'knas is pater. So the Gemara wonders and says, based on a question about chatzi nezek, here it says, any time you pay more, yeser masha hezik, that seems to exclude chatzi nezik, which means it sounds like what has the status of knas, where you are exempt if you admit to it, only if you're paying more than the value. But if you're paying less than the value, the Mishnah here says yeser masha hezik. So maybe chatzi nezik has the status of mamon, and we would not say modeh b'knas pater when it comes to that. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, not necessarily. Same thing would be true if you're paying less than what you are mazik. So chatzi nezek of a shor tam also can have the status of knas, and you don't pay al piatzmo. So therefore, we don't have to take the Mishnah literally. Anytime you're paying different than the exact value, whether it's more or less, so we say that, and then we'll say modeh b'knas pater. Perek, we begin the fourth perek. Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph. Nara shenis patisa. Here you have a case we're speaking about the privileges, the rights of the father regarding the payment of ones and mefata. So we have a nara, again, between 12 and 12 and a half. That's the classic case of where shin is patas, so she was seduced. So bashta ufugama ukanasa shalaviha. So the boshes and the pagam, we mentioned the embarrassment, the pagam, the difference in our value after she's no longer a basula, and the knas, of course, the 50 shekel, the fixed amount, go to the father. And that's regarding the girl who was seduced, but v'hatzar batfusa, the one who was literally seized, meaning the ones case. So in addition to the boshes pagam and the knas that go to the father, there will be tsar as well, and that also is something that is given to the father. Why did Mishnah use the word tfusa? Well, the Torah does. The Torah says, uses the language tafsav shachavima, so obviously that is the source of that word tfusa. Says the Mishnah, Amdabadin ad shalom esav. So let's say the mefate or the ones come to court, and along with the girl, who was seduced, and she's coming to demand tashlumin, and she comes ad shalom esav, meaning before the father died. So then harein shalav, then all of the payments obviously go to the father. Father's alive. Mesav. But let's say the father died, meaning she went to court as a nara. She went to court as a nara and demanded the tashlumin. But now, after that time, the father had passed away. Harehen shalachin. Then those payments go to her brothers. Why? Because that's part of the Yerusha, meaning since she had Ha'amada Bedin, she came to her when the father was still alive, as an Ara, when the father is still alive. So the father is Zocha in those Tashlumin. And therefore, after he passes away, they are Yoreshit. They go to the father's sons, to her brothers. But let's say lo hispika la'amod badin ad shemesav, meaning the father passed away, and only then she went to court. So now, harein shalatzma. So then the tashlumin go to her. Why? Because before hamada bidin, the father's not zochen tashlumin. And therefore, there's no Yerusha that he's going to bequeath to his children. So therefore, it obviously goes to her. If the father was alive when she went to court, so then it goes to him and goes to the children. But if the father passed away and she had yet to come to court, there was no payment yet. There was no compensation that basin was mechayev, the ones or the mefateh. So then if the father's no longer alive when that chiyuv kicks in, so then the money goes to her. The Gemara learns this from the following pasuk in Parshas Bahar, in fact. Pasuk says, V'hisnachaltem osam livnechem acharechem. You shall bequeath them, the Yerusha, to the children that follow you. So what do we see? And it says, Benechem. So watch this. The Gemara learns, Osam livnechem, velo binosechem livnechem. Meaning, what does a father have the right to give, to bequeath to his sons? Only Osam, only the Yerusha itself. But he doesn't have the right to bequeath his daughters, their sisters, his daughters, to the sons. So, and that, what does that mean? You can't bequeath your daughters to your sons. It means that any zechus the daughter has, a zechus that the father has privilege, has rights to, a zechus shezichso lo Torah bibito, a right, a privilege that the Torah gives the father in his daughter, i.e. the cases of ones and mefate, those rights, those privileges, those financial privileges, a father does not bequeath to his sons. So only osam livnechem, only the regular rusha, but binosechem is not livnechem. You can't be morish those rights that you have in your daughter to your sons. So therefore, that obviously includes the cases that we're talking about, ones, mefate, etc. Some hold that this only applies to knas, but boshes and pagam, because they have the status of mamon, then the father is zoche in those even before ha'amada bedin, and that he can be moresh to his children. That is a question, because that's a very conceptual question, which is, how do we view mamon? Do we say, well, mamon, that's compensation, boshes pagam, that really kicks in at the moment of the ones, or the moment of an injury or something like that. The knas is a penalty, is a fine. That is only something that's triggered by Beis Din. If they're not mechayev you, so then you don't pay that. So that only starts when you come to Beis Din. So if the father was no longer alive, so then the girl gets it. But maybe the mamon, you could say, that's not something that starts because Beis Din, it's not triggered by Beis Din. That's triggered by the injury, or by our case, by the rape or the seduction. So Beis Din is just is not really obligating you to do that. That's something you're obligated to do even without Beis Din. So therefore, since that set in early when the father was still alive, maybe that he can be morish to the children. Others say no. Others would say no. Even the mamon cases is only when Beis Din demands it that chiyuv kicks in. Then the Mishnah says amda badin. If let's say the mefate, she came to court with the mefate or the ones while the father was still alive, ad shelo bagra, before she became a bogeris, she's still a nara, harehen shalat. So then the tashlum and the compensation goes to the father. That's the regular case. Mesa'av, and therefore, if after Hamada Bedin, when she was a Nara, the father died, Harehen Shalachin. Since the father was already Zolcha in his lifetime, he now bequeaths it, that to the sons. Aha. But lo is speaker la amod bidin ad shebagra. But let's say there was no Hamada Bedin yet while she was a Nara. Now she's 12 and a half. Or let's say she got married, another example. Then if she has Hamada Bedin after she's already a married woman, or she's already 12 and a half, hare hein shalatzma. Because since she became a bogeres, 12 and a half, or got married before Hamada Bedin, she's left the jurisdiction of the father, the reshus of the father, and the tashlum belong to her. That is the Tanakama's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, imlo hispiko ligvos ad shemes ha'av, if she didn't have a chance, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not about coming to court, it's about her collecting that money. If she didn't have the chance to collect the money until the father died, meaning she came to court while the father was still alive, and the father died before she was able to collect it to the Tashlumin, Rabbi Shimon's makel on her behalf. Harehen Shalatzma, she is able to keep it. Because Rabbi Shimon holds that even though she had a Hamada Bedin while the father was still alive, the father wasn't Zoche in the Tashlumen to be Morish that Tashlumen to the sons. Why not? She had a Hamada Bedin, yeah, but she didn't collect it. It didn't come to her hand yet. And if it didn't come to her hand yet, so then it doesn't come to the father's hand yet. So only at that point is he Zoche in it. How do I know that? So that's based on the pasuk in the parsha regarding Onis. It says, Vinasan ha'ish hashocheif ima la'avi hanara chamishim kesef. And the Gemara says, lo zichsa ha'tora la'av el mishas nesina. Only mishas nesina does it become the father's. So if the father died, even though they came to court, and the Beis Din said to the ones, yichayev to pay, the mefate yichayev to pay the 50 shekel, but he didn't pay it yet, and then the father died, then it's going to go to her. It doesn't matter that they had a Hamada Bedin. We don't follow Rabbi Shimon, but that's his opinion. Then the Mishnah concludes, Maisei Yodeha Umitziyasa, Maisei Yodayim, anything the girl Anara produces while her father's still alive, Maisei Yodayim, she works, she makes a living, Umitziyasa, and anything she finds, Af Al Pisha Lo Govsa, even though we're going to focus now on Maisei Yadayim, a Mitzia, there's no real collecting. We'll have to mention in a moment why the Mishnah gives that example. But let's say Maisei Yadayim. You have a girl, and she's working, and what she works as a Nara, really, that whatever she produces, those earnings go to the father. But nonetheless, she worked for a couple of weeks, and she didn't get a paycheck yet. She didn't collect the schar of her Maisei Yadayim. That is already mamon shelavia. That is as if it's already hers, and therefore meis ha'av harei hein shelachin. Since the father zoch in that mamon, even though she didn't collect it yet, he is able to be morish that to her sons. Now, the Mishnah here says, and that sounds like the Tanakama, that it's based on, even though it wasn't collected, since the Maisei Yadayim she already produced, and it's money that she deserves, and it's going to be paid up to her, so that is going to, even if a father dies, that belongs to the brothers, because it's as if the father was already Zocha in it. Now, why does the Mishnah mention a Mitzia? Mitzia, she's not collecting. So that also saying, her Mitzia, even though she didn't collect the Mitzia yet, if the father dies, it belongs to the brothers. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that Mishnah mentions Mitzia, even though there's no concept of collecting a Mitzia, to teach us the following, that the Maisei Yadayim follow the rule of a Mitzia. Just like a Mitzia, if a girl finds something, if the father is still alive, it goes to the father. After the father dies, she gets to keep it, meaning the brothers are not Zoche in something that a daughter finds. After the father died, she gets to keep it herself. so too Maisei Adayim are the same. If it's Bechai Ha'av, the father still alive, goes to the father, but after the father dies, it goes to her, meaning the brothers have no zuchus in our Maisei Adayim that the daughter does after the Misa Sa'av, after the father dies. It follows the same pattern as a Metziah. That's what the Gemara says in Ksuvos Adaf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph.